Mr. Atkin, rail 15. Mr. Atkin, what was the inmates' reaction to having to march away like this from Sonnenberg without really knowing where they were going? Did anybody try to resist or seek a reason from the SS?
No, not at that stage. Later, some people tried to escape, but at that stage we just obeyed the order. But after spending the night in that village hall, we were taken back to the camp, because then we heard that it's too late to take us to Buchenwald. Obviously, the Americans must have already been there.
How did you nearby. Hear this?
Well, I personally heard it from the other prisoners, so I don't know, probably somebody must have heard from the Germans. So we started going back. We came back to the camp some hours later, and we got something to eat. And again that day we didn't know what was going to happen. And we spent the night in the camp, and the following morning we were again taken out, and now we were going in the opposite direction, south-east.
Towards Czechoslovakia?
Towards Czechoslovakia and further south, yes. We didn't know we were going towards Czechoslovakia, but we were going away from the front, not in a straight line. And then again we marched or walked all day.
Did you take your blankets?
Yes, yes. Yes, we had the blanket, spoon and the pot for the soup. That was our... everybody had that.
What about shoes? Did everybody have suitable...
Clogs, the wooden...
They're very difficult to walk such distances.
No, by then you were used to it. I think you would find it difficult if you were not used to it. But if you were used to it, you could walk in these quite just, well, not as comfortably as in shoes, but you could do it.
What was the SS attitude? Did they try to hurry you up? Were they brutal in any way?
Well, not at first. At first, the few people who couldn't walk were taken on that van together with the other injured ones and with some of the SS men. Some of the SS men had bicycles. Somehow they confiscated, or I don't know how they found. Few of them had bicycles. Later, there was even a horse-driven cart going behind as well, and some of the SS men were on it, and the others were walking on either side of us. And that went on. Then we would march all day and then stop in a farm. Once we slept in the field, because they couldn't find any other accommodation. That was a bit unpleasant, because it was almost freezing. It was sort of sleet, that kind of weather, which wasn't very pleasant, because I wrapped myself in my blanket, but everybody got wet, and in the morning you could see steam coming up from the blankets.
What would happen about food? How would you get food?
When we stopped at a farm, we sometimes got a little bit of soup. The farmers or the peasants had somehow we got a little bit of food, but we were very, very hungry.
How did the peasants manage to provide enough soup for 600 and plus the SS?
They were boiling it in troughs, the same as for cattle, and it was just a large cauldron of some sort they usually found. And
were they ordered to do this by the SS?
Well, they supplied the food. Our cooks were actually cooking it and making it. Once they killed the horse, and we had the...
Who killed the horse? Your cooks?
I don't know. The Germans shot the horse, who couldn't walk anymore, and then we had a... The soup was a bit better. Again, it was a soup. We got small portions of it.
So, was it quite possible to go a day and more at a time without eating anything?
Well, those, what happened, the first few days, some people couldn't keep up, and they were taken on that van. And after about 3 or 4 days of this kind of progress, we arrived, we came to a bridge outside the town. I don't know what town it was, whether it was the Danube or whether it was another river running into the Danube. I don't remember. I didn't know the name. It was quite a wide river, and the bridge seemed quite big, quite wide. And as we were halfway up that bridge, the few motorcycles, sort of soldiers or SS men on motorcycles, came from the opposite direction, shouting to Rick, "Go back, go back." But our SS men started talking to them, and they came to some agreement, and they said, "Right, quickly run in the direction that we were going." And we had to run across the bridge to the other side. By that time, the van with the injured and those that couldn't walk remained on the other side of the bridge. They were not allowed to cross the bridge anymore. And as we got to the other side of the bridge, after running for a little while, the bridge was blown up behind us. And on the other side of the river, we could see tanks, American tanks, that were shooting. And we realized at that moment, had we run back, we would have already been probably liberated by the Americans. But we were on the wrong side of the bridge by then.
Had most of you got across the bridge?
Most of us got across, except the injured ones, and even few of the SS men, who were also the one without the leg. They were left on the other side. And after marching another 100 yards or thereabouts, we saw German civilians with swastikas on their armbands. They were older Germans, like home guards, with guns, who have captured a group of Americans, soldiers. And they were taking them into the forest, and the Americans were waving to us, saying "Hitler kaput," and smiling. But we realized that they were going to be shot, and they were taken into the sort of a small birchwood forest, and then we heard the shots. And they must have been killed there.
How did you react to all this?
We could read on the Germans who captured them, we could read by the grim expressions what they were going to do, whereas the Americans didn't realize what was going to happen to them. And that, of course, was very upsetting for us, because we were so near liberation, and then we had to go on further.
And how were the civilians reacting to the sight of all these Jewish prisoners? And did they look surprised, or did everybody know what had been happening to them?
No, they didn't seem. They hardly glanced in our direction. They somehow, well, we didn't. They didn't seem to bother about us.
Did you yourself know by this time about the death camps, the gassing of millions of Jews?
Yes, I didn't know the numbers. I knew that there were very, very few Jews who survived. I knew that we were the few survivors.
How did you gain this knowledge?
Well, by then we knew, when we were in touch with the Poles, when we were in touch with the Buchenwald and everywhere else, we knew by then what was happening. We when we talked with the Poles from Warsaw, for example, they were saying, "You are probably the last few Jews left alive still." We thought we were the only few who did survive. We didn't know if anyone else survived. We knew that most Jewish people were killed by then.
Did you feel by this point that, did you feel hopeful or certain that you would survive the war?
Not at that stage yet, not at that stage, because the guards from Oizer before, who told me sooner or later we'll all be murdered and it's a matter of running away at the right moment, that was at the back of my mind. Also, I realized that they were not taking us away from the front line for our safety, but simply not to let us survive in order to kill us later, which later proved that they had orders to take us to be murdered. And at that time I didn't think about it so clearly, but when you're hungry and cold and you're only thinking, you're not thinking too far ahead, you're thinking about what will happen during the next moment. Will I find some food? Will I survive another few hours? Also, what happened when the guards were taking us now at a slightly faster pace, anybody who couldn't walk was shot. So they started shooting, because now the van wasn't there behind us. And every maybe once an hour or so, we could hear at the back a shot, and someone was left in the ditch.
Would you see it?
No, because I wouldn't turn my back just to look at it. And I tried to be in the front of the line. I was one of the youngest, and I felt I have more stamina than the men who were 35 years old. And but the moment a shot was heard, there would be immediately so-and-so was killed. The ones who were at the back who saw it would pass on the message. And you heard Goldman was killed and so. A surname was usually used.
How did you feel about this? And did you find it unbelievable, or does it seem very real to you?
No, you accepted it. It was somehow obvious now that they will not let someone who cannot keep up the pace, that they will not let him just go away. Then one of my friends, I think he had temperature, and he became very red and feverish, and he didn't know what was going on anymore. And he tried, as we were passing a village, he tried to walk into one of the cottages, to one of the huts. And when the Germans sort of pushed him a few times with the gun, but he didn't know what was going on. We tried to kind of hold him by the arm, and he was saying, "Oh, I must go home. I want to see my family." He obviously was disturbed. He didn't know where he was anymore. And then the Germans shot him. Uh, then there was another incident when we were given some soup. And after eating the soup, a little bit was left at the bottom of the big container. And everyone was terribly hungry. And knowing that a little bit was left, some of the men suddenly jumped towards it, and with their pots, they tried to take something out. And the SS men shot into the crowd, and they killed one of the men. They shot him in the stomach, and I was next to him. And he fell on his knees. Everyone walked away. Everyone ran away immediately. And he said, "I will be able to walk. Although he was turning bluish red, his face was turning. He tried to get up, which he couldn't. And the SS man got close to him and said, "Lay down on the ground." And he shot him 3 times in the head. We could see it. I did see that one. But when we were marching and the shots were heard behind, I would never sort of turn around and look.
Do you feel the SS got more ruthless on this march than the people?
They became more, yes, they became.
Why do you think that was?
I don't know. I think they had an order. Once they started shooting, it went on. Once they started. Also, at that time, the capo, he gave me, once or twice, he gave me a piece of bread. And soon after the shooting of this man who got shot in the stomach, the capo sort of called me to him. And I left the line. And at that time, the capo sort of turned around, was talking to the SS. And the officer, the SS officer who shot the man in the stomach, went with the gun, put it to my temple, saying, "Gehst du zurück? Will you go back?" And I realized that if I go back, the capo, who was then sort of didn't see what was going on, would not give me the piece of bread. But just at the right moment, the capo turned around and said to the SS man, "It's all right, I was calling him," and he gave me the piece of bread. And his relationship with the SS was very friendly at that stage. And he gave me the piece of bread. But I remember I was more anxious about the piece of bread than about being shot. There was no fear in me. There was only the fear that I will not get this piece of bread if I turn around and join the line, because the capo wouldn't.
Did you not feel that he really would shoot you?
When they shot, they wanted you to lie on the ground, because if they shot you standing up, the brain would splatter on their uniform or something like that. So whenever they shot somebody, it was when they were almost, that's why even when the one was on the knees, he was still kicking him and telling him to lay down. They wanted to shoot always down into the ground. So although I didn't think about it so clearly, I somehow felt he wasn't going to shoot me yet. So there was still this split second between him sort of maybe pushing me or ordering me, or it didn't reach yet the last moment. But looking sort of back at it a bit later, I sort of thought, that's funny, I wasn't afraid of it.
Did you feel any frustration at this situation? I mean, did people carry on?
No, it was
doing as they were told, or was there any kind of resentment building up and not knowing where you were going, being shot for almost anything?
No, we were so getting weaker. It was a matter of surviving another day, because we were losing our strength, obviously, because the amount of food that we were given was so slight, and the effort of marching all day was so great that people, you could see some of the men, the taller men, the strongest, found it hardest. There was one man I remember who, he could lift two sacks of cement, 200 weights of cement, and carry it. He couldn't walk, because obviously he needed more food than I did. And I somehow realized that I have more stamina, being smaller and younger, have a better chance than many. And that gave me a little confidence, but I could see that the bigger and the taller and the stronger they were, the more they suffered. And those were the ones who were being shot.
How far would you estimate you walked each day?
I don't think it was so far, because sometimes we would go in one direction. The roads, they were taking us through very empty fields or footpaths or forests, away from towns, away from busier centers. And sometimes he would walk not in a straight line, and sometimes he would cross a major road and there were bullets flying, so there was obvious that the Americans were very close by. And we sort of had to, the Germans were quite nervous, looking in both directions on that main road, which was straight and wide, and we had quickly to go through it while some bullets sort of whistled by. So it wasn't walking in a straight direction. And whether we covered 10 kilometers a day or 40, it depended. Sometimes we were walking through very hilly terrain, and walking down obviously was faster than walking up. But it was the general, if someone couldn't keep up, we were not walking so fast if you take it by normal standards. But many people couldn't manage.
Did people begin to try and escape? Were people running off?
Yes. People, you see, when we stayed on the farm, we stayed, we would spend the night sometimes in the field, but more often in a barn or in other, some farm buildings. And what people, those who couldn't walk anymore, those who realized that they were not strong enough to walk for another 10 or 12 hours, they would try to hide themselves somewhere in the hay or in the straw. And on some occasions, they might have managed to escape. On some occasions, they were found out. I know of one incident where about 10 men tried to bury themselves under the straw, and the Germans counted us in the morning. By then we were down to about 400 from the original 600. And they counted us again and again, and they realized that 10 were missing. And they thought those 10 escaped during the night, because although the barn was guarded around at night, it wasn't impossible, probably, to escape into the field. After walking for 2 or 3 kilometers, the two farm workers, two farmers or peasants, I don't know what you call them, caught up with us and told the SS to go back. And apparently they found the 10 who were hidden, well discovered by them, and they were brought back to our column and shot and buried in the
farm workers'
in the field.
Hmm? farm workers had no...
The farm workers denounced them, told the SS that they, or the farmers, told the SS that those men were hidden.
Were you surprised that the Germans were still behaving like this when the Americans were within days of them?
The Americans were within days, and there were white flags flying through the in some villages, in some houses, as they were marching us. And yet, this was still that kind of attitude towards us. There was still nobody tried to help us or to liberate us.
How did you feel about the fact that the Germans seemed to have no remorse for what they'd done?
Well, we didn't expect any from them. I don't think we didn't expect from the Germans any sympathy or any remorse. And the civilians were to us the same as the ones who were in uniform. We didn't feel that the ones in uniform are the bad ones and the others are not. We just, well, that's how it was. They were all hostile towards us. And
how long were you marching for?
We were marching until what happened towards the end of April. We were in a barn, and suddenly there was a rumor that Hitler was dead. I don't know exactly what day it was. And we were inside the barn, lying on the straw, and it wasn't dark yet. Might have been 7 o'clock in the evening. And the Germans were standing outside. The door, big double door to the barn was open, so we could see the fields. And the guards were standing, sitting on chairs, on stools, in the doorway, and they seemed kind of sad. And suddenly everyone whispered, "Hitler is dead, Hitler is dead." It went through the... By then we could have been maybe 350 left of us.
How is this news received?
And it was kind of an electrifying situation. Hitler is dead. And suddenly the man that I told you before was the joker, the one who was telling the jokes. Suddenly he jumped up and started dancing in the middle of the barn. "Hitler is dead. I have survived Hitler. What else do I need?" And he started dancing. He was a tall man, long arms and long legs, and he started dancing. "I have survived Hitler. What else do I need? I'm happy." And he ran out through the double door into the field, singing, and sort of, it was like a very strange, obviously his mind just gave up.